The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, 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 well. Look who's back, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Victory Friday. My name is Stephen Woods. Let me introduce myself to you guys. Very broken, broken man. Broken man. Takes one to know one. Talk about that in a moment. That's Paul Reindl to my right. Paulie is our executive producer. Best in the business. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
It was weird not seeing you guys yesterday.
It really was. It was
very weird to like sleep in and have a Thursday off.
It's been a weird, uneven week, certainly. I spent most of it on the toilet, but we could talk about my toilet excursions later. Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. I want to apologize to all the tier ones for taking yesterday's company holiday off. You know, they locked the building and told us that we can't come to work, so we didn't.
It's true.
Apparently we were in the wrong, so we apologize for not being here for you yesterday.
I got dragged. Well, I got to get dragged yesterday. I'm laying in bed. I couldn't keep a meal down since I tweeted it Monday. Hey, your boy got some great news on his health results, his blood work. You're stuck with me for a long time now, hopefully. Well, I don't know what happened after I hit send tweet, but my innards have left my body for the last 5 days. Yesterday was the only day I kept a meal down, and I'm still a little queasy, and I did not feel well so much that I almost said last night, I don't know if I got it in me to watch this game again. Watching those games, Ben, feeling as crappy as I did was not pleasurable at all. And last night, certainly a different story. What an interesting game. The series, at the end of the day, you lost 3-4 to the Dodgers. You did, you know, you were able to salvage a game last night. But, you know, obviously what happened, really the entirety of the series is what we want to talk about today. And, yeah, I was pretty hot in the moment last night. I think a lot of Padres fans were and are this morning. You know, I thought about it driving into work. And, you know, I tweeted this morning, after watching all the different angles and hearing all the post-game, I just said, look, after reflecting on this, I hope Dave Roberts gets the help that he needs. This is the second Padres manager he's put his hands on. He's an out-of-control Little League dad at this point. You see it all the time. I see it all the time in Little League. You can see it. There's anger. There's a lack of accountability. All of it. I hope he gets the help he needs. And listen, I started the show saying I too am a broken man. I know what it's like, you know, to be filled with anger and rage. Had to have been hard for him. Finally wins a legitimate World Series, a legitimate 162-game World Series. Great job managing, and the front office actually balks on re-signing him to a big extension. That's got to sting. That's got to be sting. That's got to be tough, right? Guys, I know you've spent $7 billion, and I know I finally got one for you, and now you don't know if you want to re-sign me. I know there's got to be some anger there from that guy. That guy needs help. He needs help. And to watch this every time we play these guys, you know, and the lack of accountability every time. Ben, these are giant red flags. They're giant red flags. And listen, I'm not a perfect person by any stretch, but I'm trying. I'm trying to do the work, as it were. That guy needs some serious help. Again, putting your hands on Mike Schilt last night, then backing away, and then not taking any accountability. Bro, this is Little League Dad through and through. Hurt people, bro.
If you are tuning in to hear if I'm going to defend my...
I think that is a spot-on analysis.
Well, okay.
And I think I give kudos to you for being a little vulnerable there. I thought that was outstanding.
Thank you, Paul.
Well said.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
If you are if you're tuning in to hear if I'm going to defend my old pal, Dave. It's not going to happen. Dave may be in the off season an amiable fellow, but the worst of him seems to come out against the San Diego Padres,
and I don't know why.
That's now it's been clear for a few years. I'll admit, back in the Andy Green incident, we weren't sure about Andy Green. I didn't know. You know, it was like,
yeah,
all right. I mean, you know, maybe we were in the wrong. I get it. He doesn't have a track record against anybody else, but when there's always the common denominator of now, you know, multiple incidents with different managers, with
every
different
time.
Players, and Dave always seems to be in the center of it between the Padres and the Dodgers.
And never takes accountability for it. Never. Which, you know what? I lived my whole life that way. It was always somebody else's fault.
In the playoffs, remember, last year in the playoffs, he admitted to fanning the flames.
Correct.
Gaslighting, essentially, with the Manny Machado throw to try to fire up his team.
Correct.
He's a troublemaker.
Yeah, and I guess to his credit or discredit, whatever you want to look at it,
it
worked brilliantly.
But there are consequences to doing that. And he has been a troublemaker. He has been an S-stirrer in this rivalry now for several years. And if you want to look at someone who takes the lion's share of the responsibility for escalating everything that has gone on between these two teams. And I'm all for it. I love the rivalry. It's fantastic for baseball. I think it's good for entertainment value. But Dave Roberts is the common denominator. When you have kids, they're going to school and the teacher says, oh, you know, got in a fight with Timmy. And then the next day he gets in a fight with Billy. And then the next day he gets in a fight with Jeremy. Guess what? Your kid is the common denominator. You can't blame everybody else when you're always part of it when something happens.
Try to teach my kids that every single day, man. Anything that happens, you know, we had a big chat about accountability the other night, trying to explain to a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old what accountability looks like. You know, it's not anybody else's fault. It's your fault. You're always involved. It's your fault. So wear it.
It's not Shohei Ohtani's fault.
No.
It's not Fernando Tatis Jr.'s fault.
Sure isn't.
It's not Mike Schilt's fault.
Nope.
You know, Mike Schilt, we will hear some of the best Mike Schilt audio you have ever heard.
Correct.
If you did not stay all the way through our post-game show last night, you will hear some of the best Mike Schilt post-game audio you have ever heard. Mike Schilt doesn't want this to happen. Mike Schilt's the last person who wants this, honestly. And I believe him. He's not looking for smoke. He's not looking for situations where his team's going to get in fights or throwing at other teams. He values keeping those guys on the field, defending them, and keeping them healthy. It's not on Mike Schilt. This always seems to go back to the manager of the Dodgers.
Every time.
Dave Roberts.
Every time.
It really does.
Every time. And never takes accountability for it. I've been there, Dave. I've been there, bud. It's not a fun place to live. It's not. It's not a fun place to live. It's always... It's that guy's fault. It's that guy's fault he didn't hire me. You guys know me. Had a chip on my shoulder for years, right? For years. There, I let guys get under my skin. They motivated me to get up, get out of bed, and go kick ass every day. I think Dave Roberts is the same. Dave needs some help. Dave needs to be suspended. He needs to think about what he did. Walking up to a guy and shoving him and then backing away. Yeah, this is the second time he's done this.
If that was an umpire, if he was going out to you know, yell at an umpire and did that, he'd be gone at least a week.
He literally put his hands on an umpire 2 nights ago. Literally.
I feel like we just saw that.
When he was going after Trip Gibson, the guy got in his face, he put his hands on him, and then he did the quick hands behind his back and peacocked like he does. He has problems, man. He has anger issues, and he needs help. He needs help. Straight up. Straight up. I've seen it. I've been there myself. He's got problems.
Now, you know, if you're watching the game, and I'm assuming most of you were, and saw what happened in the ninth inning, did Jack Little, the reliever making his major league debut, had just been called up by the Dodgers, did he throw at Tatis intentionally? I don't know. Probably not, honestly.
There was intent behind it.
Probably not. Did Robert Suarez throw at Shohei Ohtani intentionally?
100%.
Yeah, yes.
He did. But that is so far from what the point is. You'll hear Dodger fans plant their flag on, our guy didn't throw at him intentionally, your guy did. So your team is in the wrong and my team is in the right. If that is your defense, you are missing the whole point here. Fernando Tatis Jr. has worn it constantly from the Dodgers.
Yep.
He got hit 3 times in the last 7 games. He's been hit 6 times by the Dodgers in his career. No other team has even come close. And, as Mike Schilt pointed out, and that's all. He's only been hit 6 times because he's dodged about 15 other up and in fastballs that they throw him because he's the matrix up there in not getting hit. He's going to get hurt. Hopefully, he isn't already hurt. The X-rays last night were inconclusive,
but
going to get a CT scan today.
Bro, did you see when Mookie was looking at Fernando and Fernando, like, they were talking and he pointed his wrist and Mookie recoiled. Mookie was like, ooh. Like, I think Toddy might have said, I think he broke my wrist.
I'll say it. I still think, even though he plays for the enemy, I think Mookie Betts is still a good guy in baseball.
Me too.
And there's a part of me that will always enjoy watching him play the game. I think Fernando said something like, I think my wrist is effed
up. I think my wrist is broken.
Or something like that. And he went, oh.
So the other thing that you have to look
at. That's how I took that.
The other thing you have to look at is, oh man, we would never ask a rookie making his debut to go get Tatis. Well, okay. So
that's the perfect person to ask.
It leaves your. So here, Dodger fan, and I know you're there. I can smell you from here. I know you're there. Here's your options. Number one, he quit. He being Dave Roberts, he quit and pulled Mookie and Freddie. He quit. So that's option number one. That's your first door. He quit on the game. Number two, he pulled those guys because he didn't want them to get hit. Right? So that's the other option. That's what I think happened. I think this guy, I legit think that a wounded man like Dave Roberts, bloodthirsty as he is, said, hey, Little, you want to make a name for yourself with this organization? I want Tatis. Up and in. Go get him. I promise you, man. What better time? What better scapegoat than that? Go get him.
Isn't it more damaging to your narrative if you're the Dodger fan to be like, no, I'm more happy that
I'm more
he
happy
took
that he quit
his best players out of the game because I saw it. I mean, people were freaking out. They're like, sure would be nice to have Betts or Freeman up in this point in the ninth when we have the winning run at the plate.
On what planet do you are you the Dodgers, who seemingly have had a 5-run inning in every game in the series, why would you not? Why would you punt there? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
unless you know what's about to happen.
That was another weird flag I saw Dodgers fans planting online last night.
They backed themselves in a corner.
You only won 2 games out of the last 7 because the Dodgers quit in both of those games.
Correct.
We let you win.
We
let you win. Okay. You don't have a major problem with your team letting their big rival win twice. Just hey, take 2 of these for free.
I promise you, they were hoping to get a chance to throw Kike last night.
Guaranteed. It was, listen, Jack Little sucks, man. That sucks for that guy. Oh, man, I got to go out and hit Tatis now. Freddie, you grab a seat. I don't want you getting hurt. Mookie, grab a seat. I don't want you getting hurt. We're going to let Miggy Rowe take this at bat in the ninth inning when they had a chance to win. They had a chance to win that game. The Padres have not been good this series. They've not. They battled pretty hard, but they've not been good. You're the L.A. Dodgers. You've spent $1 billion. You're quitting on games. You're either quitting on games in the ninth, or you are instigating a bean brawl from the dugout.
I hope.
That's your options. You don't have any other.
I hope. This is the year. Padres have faced the Dodgers in the playoffs 3 of the last 5 seasons. It's always been a short series. 3-gamer, 5-gamer, 5-gamer. I hope this is the year that they get to face off in a 7-game series. And I really hope the strategy that Dave Roberts employs is punting on 2 of those 7 games and saying, hey, Padres, if you can beat us 2 of the other 5, good on you. Because I have never seen that as a viable long-term strategy, that you can just punt on as many games. It worked in the playoffs for him last year, but that's not a smart long-term strategy to keep punting on games that you have a chance to win. It's one thing when you're down 11-0, but like you said, the game was not over. It was never over. I've never felt it was over. I was nervous all the way, of course, to the end that the Padres were going to be able to pull it out. I was glad that Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman weren't coming up. I'll tell you that in the ninth inning.
No question. But again, Ben, you make a really good point, man. The common denominator is always one guy. It's Dave Roberts. And again, the man flat out lied last October, flat out, admitted later that, yeah, I did lie. I made that up. I wanted to fire the team up. And he gets, there's no recourse for that. Dave is the problem. Dave needs some serious, serious help. He's a, how old is he? 60?
Probably somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there? That's a grown man out there putting his hands on another man again.
50, he gets to manage his team
53,
the way he wants to.
My it's, God.
He can manage his team the way he wants to.
Sure.
But when it starts impacting other teams and potentially the health and career of star players, other teams are going to push back. The Padres do not want to see the Dodgers throwing high and tight constantly to Fernando Tatis Jr. Intentional or not, enough is enough.
Enough's enough.
And that is the that was the basis of what Mike Shildt was saying after the game last night. Enough is enough.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. It's unfortunate. You have the second biggest media market. You have the most resources. By all accounts, Dodgers treat their players very well. Probably, you know why so many people want to play in L.A., is my guess? There's no accountability. You don't have to be accountable to anyone. You can do what you want because your manager takes no accountability. None. Never. Never once has he said, guys, I escalated this. I'm sorry. So I'm sorry. I escalated this. I blew this out of proportion. Never once has he taken accountability.
I think there should be. Probably MLB is going to issue a ruling later today or certainly in the next 48 hours.
Yeah.
There should be two suspensions. Dave Roberts, certainly. And Robert Suarez is probably going to get two or three games, which is fine.
No problem.
Give him a couple days off. No worries about that. But
I bet Manny strokes his check for any fine.
I would agree. Manny's reaction.
Manny.
Yeah, we got
good
some. God. If you missed those, Manny Machado was spicy post-game.
Yeah. Manny says he pulled Will Smith, too. Right. I mean, this guy. So there's your. I just want you guys to think about it. Reflect on it today, Dodger fan. I know you're listening. Reflect on it. Your manager created a lane to get some spicy stuff going again by taking those guys out, or he quit. That's it. That's your only options. He quit, or he wanted this. He wanted that smoke, and he got it.
Yeah. If you drop circumstantial evidence and crumbs all over the place, when the investigators come, they're going to look around and they're going to, well, I mean, you say that you didn't do it intentionally.
But,
and, I mean, we'll never know exactly what you were thinking, but you dropped all these breadcrumbs that would indicate the opposite. Every little piece of evidence that you left
screams,
made it seem like you were going to escalate something late in the game. And then it happened.
Correct. Yeah, so here's the thing. We don't know if Fernando Tatis Jr., who is a player that this team desperately needs, we don't know if he's going to be okay. It didn't sound good. I saw last night, he's not in a good place. That doesn't give me a lot of hope. A wrist injury, we know how bad those can be, especially for a guy like him. So, this whole thing got out of control, and again, perpetuated by Andy Páez, number one, and Dave Roberts, number two. The Padres punched back. Bullies back. They don't like when a bully bullies you and you punch the bully back, the bully flips out. They flip out. And that's exactly what happened. Andy Páez really started all of this. All of it. Dylan Cease. I've never seen Dylan Cease hit a guy in my life intentionally, ever. And for him to stand there and flip out after getting hit on the pad, to flip out like he did and start it, Andy Páez is responsible for this. And then Dave Roberts' reaction throughout, there's no question. But hey, just own it. Just own it. Take accountability for once. For once. Don't make up stories. Don't go to Ken Rosenthal. Just wear it. Wear it. You won't. You won't.
Got a good show for you today.
It's already been a good show.
I'm excited.
We will set the menu after a quick check of traffic. Don't go anywhere. Tier 1s, it's Ben and Woods on a Friday on 97.3 The Fan.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Friar Friday. We have not one, but two interesting games to talk about since we were off yesterday, with not just drama involving, you know, the ninth inning yesterday and hit by pitches, but some big pitching performances, some big offensive performances, both teams coming up with dramatic moments the last couple of days.
That four-game series had everything.
My God.
I thought it had everything, and then a ball got stuck under the catcher's gear, resulting in everybody advancing a base. I mean,
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Literally, like everything in that series. And we will talk about the last couple of days, what we're seeing from the San Diego Padres. Hey, if you're going to lose 3 out of 4, probably the best way to do it. Finish with the win. Finish with an emotional.
Beat their ace.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that I'm hoping for, obviously, is the health of Fernando Tatis Jr. going forward. And I know there were some conflicting reports on his x-rays, whether they were negative or inconclusive. I believe they weren't like, they didn't see a break, but they could not rule anything out either. So call it inconclusive. He's going to get more detailed imaging today, probably this morning. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't in the lineup, but I wouldn't be surprised if he is in the lineup as well, because it's Fernando Tatis Jr., and he's a bit of a superhuman freak, and he's been back quickly other times. So we will find out more later today when the Padres return home to host the Kansas City Royals back at Petco Park. This stretch of games is not over by any stretch of the imagination.
No, we still got to win ball
like,
games.
Okay, exhale, because the Dodgers are done. Mm-mm. They play. They keep playing. This is a tough month of June. The Padres trying to survive. They needed that win yesterday. So we'll go through all the highlights, hear how Jesse and Mud called it yesterday from the booth at Dodger Stadium with our wrap-up that is coming up next. Then, guest-wise, on a Friar Friday, we'll have our friend Darren Smith at 7:35. Certainly get his thoughts on what transpired the last 4 days at Dodger Stadium.
Sweet Darren texted me yesterday. He goes, hey, just a reminder, it isn't it's a bye week.
Right.
By so a weekend for SDFC. So if you guys don't want to chat, like,
we don't have to do too much SDFC. A little SDFC, a lot of Padres talk with Darren. And then 8 o'clock on a Friar Friday, and I'm curious about this. It's Eric Grubner's turn to join us. Padres CEO Eric Grubner will be with us. Does the bad blood ever extend all the way to the top?
Like, I was going to ask
organizationally.
You. Hey, I'll see you in the owner's suite.
Is he ready, Mark Walter, to throw down if he sees him? How does that work in Major League Baseball?
I'm taking Group Dog in that fight.
And then because we were off yesterday, how about a little smart baseball on a Friday? You know, Saris is going to be with us at 9 o'clock. Around that, got plenty to talk about. Our regular features, Don't Do This, Take on Woods, a Rindle Report with the rest of the headlines in sports. Woods?
Quickly.
You ready?
I'm ready, but yeah. Quickly. Just want to let everybody in the audience know. I did send a text last night to try to get Mike Schilt on today. Just so you know, that was not something that we did not think about.
He always has a open door policy.
Yeah.
Even though it's regularly scheduled every other Friday. He ever wants to drop a, hey, I've got something I want to get off my chest. He knows the line is open to him.
So I know they got back at about 2 o'clock this morning. I don't know that Schilty has slept a wink. My guess is he's up drinking.
I had trouble getting to sleep
me
last
too.
Night.
Yep. My guess is he's up drinking black coffee as we speak. So, Schilty, you've got the floor is yours. I mean, I put it out there.
he might already be sitting in the office at Petco Park, like ready to go for today.
We'll be having some nachos.
I picture him sitting at Fernando's bedside with a cold rag on Fernando's forehead, drinking black coffee and just saying, hey, it's going to be all right. Gonna be all right, baby. We all got you. Shilty got you. I got you. That's what I like to picture in my head. That's my happy place.
We will get to the highlights and breakdown of last night's wild 5-3 win over the LA Dodgers. It is coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, Boy, speaking of Black Coffee Woods product placement, better buzz. This morning I am enjoying the Killer Bee, which is coffee topped with espresso. Thought I might need a little extra this morning to get me going. It is delicious. Check out Better Buzz throughout San Diego County. And right now, check out their summer limited time menu, the Summer Flings, with items like the coconut best drink ever. They've taken their best drink ever, topped it with coconut cold cream, toasted coconut flakes, or new food items like the Blue Crush Acai Bowl, coconut cream, mango, pineapple, organic acai, vanilla almond granola, pineapple, strawberry banana. It's all delicious. Better Buzz is located throughout San Diego. It's a location near you. You can get the app, download it, order easily, pick it up this morning. I think we all need a little extra. We were all up late last night. Check it out today. Go online to betterbuzzcoffee.com to order online. Betterbuzzcoffee.com.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
So the Padres still treading that water we talked about earlier in this week. Now 20 games into their stretch of 26 games in 27 days. Padres are 9-11. Certainly not as good as you would have hoped for, but they remain half a game up on the Brewers and the Cardinals for the third and final playoff spot in the National League. I think they're a game and a half behind the Giants. So right there, tied in the loss column, right there, just still four games behind the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League West. The separation still remains fairly small between all the teams. You've got six games left before your next off day. Three against the Kansas City Royals this weekend at Petco Park, Star Wars weekend. And then the Washington Nationals coming in, who finally ended their 11-game losing streak yesterday on a walk-off home run by former Padres prospect James Wood. Are they treading water, Woods?
9-11 is kind of the definition of treading water. You know,
I mean, just barely, like, just get your nose and mouth above the water at this point.
You're breathing.
You're still breathing.
You're alive.
You're not dead.
Yeah, you're not dead yet.
You know,
the boat hasn't taken on full water yet. You're hanging. Yeah. You're hanging
six
in there.
6-14, 5-15. You're sinking like a stone. 9-11. You're
correct.
You're tired. You're looking for a life preserver at some point.
Yeah, but I mean, wait till you see the lineup tonight with Bryce Johnson in right and Tyler Wade in left and who's in Javon Sheets in left and Tyler Wade in center. Like, this is
against Bobby Witt Jr. and Jack Caglione, who had his first two home runs of his career yesterday. I mean,
the
Royals are coming in feeling pretty good about themselves today. So it's not like it gets easy at this point. And that's you're not ready to let down because you're not in any position where you can let down if you're the Padres.
Not even a little bit. You got to try to keep your foot on the gas. And, I was absolutely encouraged by beating Yamamoto, who has been the Dodgers' best pitcher. And I am bummed that, because that's what they, like Dodger fans will tell you, we weren't even trying to win those first three games, and we won them. Yeah, I mean,
then they really weren't trying to win the last one. We were actively trying to lose it. My goodness, you try to lose a lot of games.
They try to lose a lot of games. It's a weird strategy, but seems to be working for them. We are not afforded that luxury, as Padres fans. We don't have that depth that they do, certainly. So, I was encouraged by the victory last night, encouraged by, again, beating their ace, who absolutely shoved it on us in the playoffs. Tip my hat, one of the best pitching performances you'll see, no question. I am different. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, the Padres were just terrible. I'll give credit to Yamamoto. He was really good that night. And he was good last night, and the Padres got to him. And, so they're going to need to find a way to scrap out some victories until they can get a break, Benny, because when's Jackson due back?
He is eligible to come back on Saturday.
And we don't know for sure that
he is recovered enough from the concussion to be back, but I think the 7 days will be up on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure.
So we will get into the highlights with our wrap up after traffic. Roberto asked the question, is Xander back? I cannot tell you if Xander is back, but at least we get to ask the question today, which is nice. We'll get to that coming up next here with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort. The player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow. And I want to go deep.
Two, and Xander hits it in the air to left center field. Pretty deep. Kim is going back. He's on the warning track. At the wall. It's going to go. Xander can enjoy this one. Padres take a 1-0 lead in the second inning as Bogaerts follows up the ninth inning double last night with his fourth home run of the season here tonight. Yamamoto will deal, and Iglesias hits it in the air to deep left. Páez over towards the line, gets there to make the catch. Bogaerts tagging at third. On his way, the throw will be cut, and a sac fly for Iglesias to give the Padres a 2-0 lead. Cronenworth first pitch swinging out towards left center. Long run, Páez into the gap. He won't get there. Hits on the warning track. Hops over the wall. A ground rule double as Bogaerts will come in to score. It's up and in. Ball four, and Little has walked Iglesias with the bases loaded. That'll bring Tyler Wade home. And the Padres now 5-0. Now the 1-1. Came in and hit him. Maybe got the bat. Either way, he is down, and the Padre bench is hot. Mike Schilt is particularly hot. He is running out of the dugout, pointing at the Dodger dugout. Arise, meanwhile, coming to check on Tatis with Schilt and head athletic trainer Mark Rogo in tow. Now Dave Roberts is coming out of the third base dugout. He and Mike Schilt are going to go face-to-face, and both benches will empty. Roberts just pushed Schilt. Roberts pushed Schilt. The umpires and some of the coaches trying to get between the two managers. Schilt and Roberts are now up against the backstop. And Mike is being kept out of the fray. Both bullpens have emptied. And things have finally boiled over between the Padres and Dodgers. Pitch from Suarez. Bounce up the middle. Bogaerts has it. It'll get a run home. The throw to first just in time to get Kim. Muncy scores, and it's now 5-2. Matsui ready. Here's the pitch to Rushing. Swung on and tipped into Maldonado's mitt. Strike three, and the ball game is over.
First of all, I'll say this. There's a lot of respect for that team. Whether it's mutual or not, I think it is. You know, the fact of the matter is it's a good rivalry. It's a good hard-fought baseball rivalry. I don't want it to get to a point where it got to, you know, and accelerated to tonight. But how did we got to the ninth, not in isolation. You know, we got to the ninth over a combination of things.
A lot of things, and we will hear more from Mike Schilt coming up in just a little bit, because he had a lot to say after that game last night about a troubling history between the two teams.
Yep.
That he just felt like they had to put their foot down at some point. And sometimes the benches clearing brawl is the end of it. You know, can finally move on. I don't get the sense that it's over between these two teams. They don't play again until August.
It's unfortunate.
When they will meet six more times in a span of a week and a half, kind of like they did this time. And then that'll be it for the regular season. But you got two months to stew and wait before you face this team again.
Yeah, you want to make sure you're in, you know, you've got a puncher's chance at that point, you know, that those games matter.
Pusher's chance.
Punchers? Oh, pusher. Yeah, in Dave's case,
Shover's chance,
a shove and run. The old shove and run. The old shove and run. I'm going to push you and then retreat. The push and retreat.
Hold me back.
No,
please, hold me back.
Yeah, man. I really liked your point, man. I liked your point earlier. You know, there's one instigator, common denominator over these many years, and it's not Mike Schilt. It's not Fernando Tatis Jr. It's not Padres pitchers. It's not Dylan Cease. It's Dave Roberts, period, the end. Likes to blow things out of proportion, likes to create narratives, doesn't like to take accountability. And I don't think there's a mutual respect there. I don't at all. I don't think they have a mutual respect for anyone, you know, honestly. But it's certainly not the San Diego Padres. I'd get that out of your head. If I was Mike Schilt, I'd get that out of my head right now. You know, when you beat them, they say, we let you beat us, right? So there's no respect there. The way they don't respect the game, you know. They again, I'll belabor this point all day. If you're a Dodger fan this morning, are you not sick to your stomach that your manager quit on you last night in the ninth inning? You guys spent $1 billion to have your manager pull three of your best players in the ninth inning. That doesn't sicken you? How is Dodger management okay with that?
And let me bring up another point. I understand, hey, staying healthy, long season, you don't want to overuse guys.
But the day before, he said, we want to put these guys away. Dave Roberts said that.
Right. Well, there's some validity to, you know, being careful with your guys. But what are you saving them for? You're saving them for games like this,
right?
Opponents like this.
Correct.
Divisional opponents who you know are probably the only team that really can sort of match up with you, that has really given you problems over the last couple of years. They won the season series last year. They beat you in the playoffs 3 years ago. They're the team that, right now, you acknowledged last year was the one that probably should have gotten you. If you're saving your guys, which is a legitimate strategy, you're saving them for last night. You're saving them for the game. That's when you push them. And then, I don't know who the Dodgers are playing tonight. Then you give your guys a day off. You know, I'm sure, you know, that's what you're saving them for. So, anyway, Padres took some good at-bats early against Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Of course, the last time they faced Yamamoto, ended their season 2-0 at Dodger Stadium in Game 5 last year. But started in the first inning, didn't get anything from it, but I thought they took some good at-bats in the first inning. And then in the second inning, Xander Bogaerts, after his double on Wednesday night in the ninth inning, puts another good swing on it, and maybe his best swing of the year. He had three home runs. If I remember correctly, a lot of them were pulled right down the line sort of shots, you know, speed up his bat with an off-speed pitch. That was a really nice vintage Xander Bogaerts Boston Red Sox era home run.
Yeah.
Now, you can't read anything into one at bat. You can't even read anything into a 4-for-4 night or a couple of games coming through. But I was at least really pleased to see Xander Bogaerts put together a string of really quality at bats, something we have not seen from him in a very long time. And that was encouraging. And if you want to let yourself be a little bit hopeful, fine. He's got a long way to go before you feel like, okay, Xander's truly, he's locked in, and we got Xander for however long. But, man, it was nice to see last night Xander have a big 4-for-4 performance.
No question about it. Scored, what, the first three runs of the game for the San Diego Padres. Desperately needed. And that's, you know, that's what we were talking about. I know Schilte talked about him before the game. Talked about, you know, trying to love the player. When the player is struggling, that's when they need love the most. There's no doubt. And listen, you know, somebody was like, go easy on Xander. And I said, I have gone easy on Xander. I want Xander to do well. I like Xander a lot as a human being, and certainly knew what he did in Boston and what he was capable of. You know, he's like, well, you know, you get that veteran leadership. I'm like, hey, man, 25 mil is a lot for veteran leadership. That's all I'm saying. If that's all you're bringing to the table. And it kind of was there for a minute, at least the last month, Ben. Some decent shortstop, you know, but for $25 million, holy cow. I think Mason McCoy can play as good a shortstop, if not better, and would essentially give you the same production for $700,000 the last 30 days or so. But to have Xander bust out in a game like that, it's epic, you know. And I felt horrible for him. Did you see his quote after what happened the night before? Oh, it literally broke my heart. I was like, oh my God, he hits the game-tying double. Will Smith walks it off. Yeah, I'm sure they could have used Will
Smith. 2 minutes later.
I'm sure they could have used Will Smith in the ninth last night, but that's a different story. Giving him a rest with runners on. Xander says, yeah, I finally do something good and it lasts for like 2 minutes. I can't do anything right. Just brutal. Just rips your heart out. So no one is... Nobody I know is anti Xander Bogaerts. We need Xander Bogaerts to be really, really good here if we want to have a chance. We don't win a World Series without him playing well. We don't.
So Padres get out to the early lead. Top of the third inning. Does anyone remember what happened? Marvin Hudson, the home plate umpire, robs Yamamoto of an immaculate inning.
Oh my God!
Eight straight
man.
Strikes.
Oh.
He's one strike away. Throws one. Literally, right down the middle, maybe an inch, you know, above the center of the zone, and somehow everybody kind of misses it, and, you know, Tatis ends up striking out, but he lost the immaculate inning on one of the worst missed strike calls you're ever going to see.
Bro, it was like this. It wasn't, it was almost middle-middle. I mean, it was just like...
It's like a glitch. Like, everybody glitched. Even, like, they're just standing
they,
there
they
like,
couldn't believe
what's
it.
Going on? That was weird. The Padres rallied again in the top of the fifth. This time, a little small ball. Xander Bogaerts single. Jake Cronenworth, three-hopper through the hole and an Iglesias sack fly to get another run home. And then let's talk about Ryan Burgert's performance early in the game as well. Another good start. I thought one of the most incredible stats of the series, the Dodgers didn't get a single base runner in the first inning in all four games with three MVPs. Not one of them reached base in any of the first four games in the first inning. You know, he got into a little bit of trouble in the third. Manny Machado made a nice play to get Mookie Betts to strand a couple. And then in the fifth, with two out and two on, Mike Schilt pulled Ryan Burgert to bring in Adrian Morejon to face Shohei Ohtani.
He wanted that game.
And that was, he wanted that game. And what a nice job by Adrian Morejon again. Gets the tapper in front of the plate. I'm sure a little PTSD because, you know, Adrian Morejon had a couple of
the one he threw away. I was
defensive
like, oh my
incidents,
God.
One off the glove, one he threw away, but makes the play. Arise makes the play at first base. They get out of that jam. So Ryan Burgert gets a clean sheet, 4 2/3 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. What a great job he's done, you know, in absolutely pressed into service with the Padres starting pitching woes. Pluck him out of, and he's done a really fine job for the San Diego Padres. Really has not looked overwhelmed at this level at all. Then you get later in the game, it's top of the seventh inning, Padres add on. Bogaerts, another stinging double. Jake Cronenworth with the ground rule double that bounced over the fence. So you get 3-0 lead. You knock Yoshinobu Yamamoto out of the game. A lot of nervous time in the last three innings. Jeremiah Estrada, again, dicey. Dicey outing for Jeremiah Estrada, but he did get out of the jam.
Beyond terrifying. Beyond terrifying.
Yeah.
I got to say, man, I know we won that game last night. That was the moment that I went, oh, Shilty. Oh, no. I went, holy Shilt. You're going to Estrada. I get it, man. It's the freaking.
Holy Shilt.
It's the, I got a hunch he's due. Forget it. I was like, bro, you cannot throw him in this game. You got to get his head right against the Royals or the Nats or somebody. Like, they seem to be on him.
When he did it last time and it didn't work and went to Jeremiah Estrada early, he said, hey, I got one of the best relievers in all of baseball who throws, you know, 100 miles an hour. Of course I'm going to go to him. I know you say that, but you also have to be honest with yourself sometimes as manager and know, I may believe in this guy, and I know he's going to get back to being who he has been at some point. But you have to acknowledge that right now, Jeremiah Estrada is not quite right.
Correct.
And you have to manage accordingly going forward. Yeah, give him some opportunities, obviously, to get going again.
100%.
But maybe be a little more selective in those opportunities.
Was that 2-0 at that point?
It was 3-0.
3-0 at that point.
But he brought the tying run to the plate.
Got it.
And he got out of the inning.
Motto.
Padres add on in the eighth. Luis Arraez with the triple, and then Gavin Sheets extending his hitting streak to a career best 10 games with a nice single to center. And they got a bases loaded walk to Iglesias there in the eighth that made it 5-0. And as it turned out, you needed every bit of that in the ninth inning as the Padres, not just the drama with the Tatis and Ohtani hit batsmen, but you know, with Yuki Matsui coming in cold, no warm-ups, essentially. You know, he got to warm up on the mound after Robert Suarez was ejected. But you had the winning run at home plate and a chance for the Dodgers to, you know,
to
really drive
up
a stake in the heart of the San Diego Padres.
That would have ended me. I would have retired. Just so you know, you guys almost got retired, Woods. Enjoy Estrada now, though, Ben, because he'll probably be your closer the next few days with Robert Suarez definitely being suspended.
I think our friend Tommy Giannis on Twitter said it best. Is there any argument that Adrian Morejon has been the Padres' best reliever this year?
None.
I don't know that there is much of an argument. Suarez has had many great outings, but he's had a few bad ones as well. Adam went through his tough period for a while. Estrada is going through it now. Adrian Morejon has been as consistent and nasty as anybody that we've seen, really, especially from the left-handed side in baseball, just coming on in relief.
Just filthy. Filthy, filthy, filthy. I'm really glad we didn't fire him into the sun, as many people wanted to do. And it's nice that he found his,
as we may have even wanted a couple of times.
He was a frustrating guy, man, to have that kind of stuff. And he gives all the credit to Ruben. You know, Annie just did a really nice piece about that. It was really, really good, talking about how Ruben, he goes, Ruben doesn't want to hear this, but like, Ruben saved me.
Speaking of Ruben, as we get to the bottom of the hour, funny moment. I was listening to Sammy's post-game show last night. So I know Mike Schilt got ejected. I didn't realize that Brian Esposito, the bench coach and second manager, got ejected. And some of the umpires were asking, so Ruben, are you manager? He goes, no, I'm not the manager. Like, I don't think they even knew who was
Oh, my God.
Point at the end of the game. We don't have a three deep for managers here.
Did you guys hear Scam dropping a bull crap live on the
incredible. On the post game show? Crap. All right, we need to hear from Mike Schilt. We need to hear from Dave Roberts. We will do that when we come back. More Ben and Woods and a wild Friday here on 97.3 The Fan.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.